Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel. Excludes applicable fees and taxes. Subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, bringing us today's topic on St. Dimphna and cleansing mental health. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Papa Newt. I just barely made it in time. I just got in. I think I added a gray hair to our chief technician's head.
Running perfectly.
I made it. Yeah, I made it. All right. I have not a whole lot to report here as to what is going on in Forestville. Scattered rain, scattered clouds, scattered everything. Things are cooking along, both at the Lucky Mojo shop and in the church. Everything is doing very well. And seems to me that we have a whole lot of goodness going on. And that's about all I have to say. So I do not see Conjurman Ali in the chat log. Is he here?
He's here. Yeah.
Okay. He just didn't sign in to chat.
I'm
okay.
Logging in as we speak. Sorry about
all
that.
All right. Well, you're late too, honey.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm going, I know he's supposed to be here, but he's not here. I'm always scanning the chat log, you see, to see who's really with us. Well, while you log in, let me just say that I just want to give a nice welcome to the folks in the chat room. Alchemical Artisans Hour is always there. Anna Gabriella, very often here. Arcadia 73. Candelo Kimbisa is here. And I'm always happy to see him. Eye of Newt, our secret friend, is here. Gia is here. A number of guests who have nothing but numbers behind their names. Learning and Growing. Loyal Stranger, someone I'm very happy to see. Navy Nurse 98. And these are some of our folks. Papa Newt, who is Eye of Newt's Papa. And, of course, Shalom Ministries International. So that's some of the people here, and we hope to be joined by more as the show goes on. We usually send out a few little announcements on Facebook saying that we are live and people will come on in. And I probably will do that in a bit. So let me say hi to you, Conjurman Ali. How are things in your world?
Things are great. Thank you for asking. I was away, so thank you all for filling in last week. I am back. But otherwise, I have been keeping quite busy. For me, winter break has started for my day job as an academic. and really been focusing on client work to end the year. You know, now it begins. People asking what the year to come is supposed to look like. People trying to clear away the old and bring in the new. So this time of year is always interesting type of work. And probably my favorite type of readings, of course, is year readings. You know, what does the year ahead look like? And what can we do to make it better? So this is always kind of my favorite time to do readings, to be honest with you. Because it's a nice time to take a look at your life and how it looks and what you'd like from it and what you can expect. And, you know, I also look forward to doing year readings in general. So I will definitely be making some predictions some few weeks, and we'll see what 2017 holds for us all.
Well, it's very nice to have you back here. And I know that traveling is in your future, so we're going to be keeping hold of you. And when you're here and when you're gone, we'll wave to you from afar. But I know you have been traveling a lot and will be traveling a lot. So it's always nice to see you. I, too, will be traveling. I ought to announce right away that both Hanukkah and Christmas fall on Saturday and Sunday this year together. Christmas Eve and Hanukkah are on the same day. And so we will be doing a rebroadcast on Christmas Day. And then 1 week after that, of course, also falls on a Sunday, New Year's, and we will be doing a rebroadcast on New Year's. So don't be disappointed, folks. That's what's going to be. It happens every time that either of those holidays or some other few holidays fall on a Sunday. All right. So let's say hello and bring in Deacon Millett. How are you doing, Deacon?
Doing good. The sun is shining out here. So blue skies, and definitely trying to stay upbeat and ready for the new year.
Well, I know what you mean about trying to stay upbeat. There have been a few people who have kind of been feeling a lot of pain. You know, it's been building, and then the election made it worse. And I've been dealing with a lot of people for whom despair is close at hand, and I hear you on that one. But it is a new year going to come, and we all rededicate ourselves and get ourselves together. And this kind of segues in a little bit into the topic for this afternoon, which is working with Saint Dimphna. Now, Saint Dimphna, to those who are not Catholics or who have never heard of her, is a Catholic saint, and she lived in Ireland by all reports. There is a story connected to her that her mother was a very beautiful queen of Ireland, back when Ireland was an independent little kingdoms and things in there. And when her mother passed away unexpectedly at a fairly young age, her father declared that Dimphna, who was the spitting image of her mom, had to become his wife. In other words, he was going to rape his own daughter. In other words, he was going to institutionalize incest. And she didn't like that. And she was a Christian, and she thought it was against God's rules. So she didn't need to be a Christian to think that. Many people think from different other religions it's against God's rules. And genetically speaking, it's horrifying, and it's also a terrible way to abuse children who trust you. So she took off. She took off with one of her court retainers. So according to some stories, he was a dwarf. He was a court jester. According to other stories, he was just a monk, and he was her instructor in Christianity. But in any case, they took off in a little coracle, which is a little hideskin boat, and they went across the channel, and they ended up in on the continent. Some say Belgium, some say France. But they ended up somewhere. And they tried to hide out from her father. Well, he sent a whole bunch of boatloads of armored men, knights, to try to capture and bring her back. And if he couldn't bring her back, they were instructed to kill her. And they searched for her high and low, and they eventually found her when they came to a little town where people said, "Well, we won't take your money because your money, your Irish money, is that's not our kind of money. We don't know what kind of money you got here." So they wouldn't serve them. And that give these guys an idea. We'll just go show our money and say, "Have you ever seen this money before?" So they went out sleuthing, and they found a little town where they said, "Oh, yeah, we've seen this money before." And then they found her, and they said, "Come back and have sex with your daddy or die." And she said, "I'd rather die than do that." So they killed her. And they also killed her monk, helper, dwarf, jester, pal. And where she was buried, a hospital happened to be built. And where that hospital was built, people began to be cured. But in particular, they were cured of mental illness, even more than physical illness. And word got around, and over the years, this became a place where the mentally ill were sent, and prayers to St. Dymphna were set up. Now, you think about it, many people's mental illness does come from abuse in childhood, and not just sexual abuse, but verbal abuse, physical beating, living with an alcoholic or drug-addicted parent can set in place a lifetime of mental illness. And so St. Dymphna is applied to for help with those things too. So that is who St. Dymphna is. She's always shown as Irish. She's always shown dressed in Irish clothes, you know, older style, country style clothing. She often has a green shamrock with her, and she holds the Bible. And it was said that when they killed her, she tried to put the Bible up to stop them from beheading her or whatever. So she's shown holding the Bible, and the Bible is often decorated with a shamrock. Those are her things. And her color is, because of the shamrock, her color is green. Having said all that, I guess I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett. Deacon Millett, let's talk about, you tell us about using the image of St. Dymphna, working with the spirit of St. Dymphna, making petitions to St. Dymphna for cleansing mental health.
Well, St. Dymphna has been a particular favorite of mine for years now. And part of it is that if you become acquainted with her, she is a very sweet, pure, young spirit. And so in terms of just the interaction, she always wants to help. She's always very bright and gentle and friendly. And I work with her typically with vigil candles. That's my favorite form of working with her. But I'll be giving a spell when we get to the end of the show about something you can do that's a little more in-depth for working with her. I'm very fond of, right now, a 13-herb bath. I'm just advising everybody to get some and to just use it and to cleanse. We're in a time when doing the 13-week, 13-herb bath once every Sunday it just seems like a smart rule of thumb for me. And I'm kind of advising people to do this who, I want to be sure that I also advise them to seek mental professional help. You know, people get really down. This particular time of year is a down time of year for a lot of people anyway. And I'm a big believer in Western medicine and seeking help. I believe that St. Dymphna can be petitioned to bring you the right help. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end in my spell as well. But Psalm 69 is one that I really like using with St. Dymphna. And I have several oil blends that I like, in addition to just the St. Dymphna oil. I also use a combination of Tranquility, Clarity, and Vanvan for mental health issues and cleansing them. And for mental health healing, I like a blend of Sacred Heart, St. Lazarus, and Dr. Hernandez oils, which also...
Wait, back up. We're trying to get this into the chat room. So let's if you can't type them in, then someone's going to type them. The first blend was Tranquility.
Clarity and Van
Clarity
Van.
And Van Van. Okay. And the second...
And I love that for mental healing of all kinds. The second one I use for physical and mental healing, and it is
okay.
a blend of Sacred Heart,
mm-hmm.
St. Lazarus,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Hernandez.
Okay, got it. I love
and
Dr. Hernandez.
I know. One of the things I love so much about adding Dr. Hernandez into any kind of works like these is that he delivers you to the people and places that will help you. And that's so vital because we can't, particularly with anxiety and depression, these are not things we can cope with on our own. They get worse the more isolated we become. So
mm-hmm.
Dr. Hernandez is very good for sending folks to the right doctors, the right hospitals, the right places for the help that they need.
Yeah, I'm going to say something about these sets that you put together here. The
mm-hmm.
first one is a good set for anybody doing any kind of mental work. And I recognize that a group of Tranquility, Clarity, and Van Van is often used just to clean out mental issues with or without mental illness. You could add
mm-hmm.
St. Dimphna to it, and you would have a four-way Churches and Root Worker special that you could order pre-blended
mm-hmm.
for yourself. There's another way to do that that I've seen done also, which is Tranquility, Clarity, Healing, and St. Dimphna. In that case, you're going more toward a acknowledgement that you need healing. The second set, Sacred Heart, St. Lazarus, and Dr. Hernandez, again, that's a beautiful set in and of itself. Very much in the Catholic Church and / Santeria tradition, or Dr. Hernandez is Venezuelan, so it's Latin American, we could call it. Again,
mm-hmm.
you could add St. Dimphna, and St. Dimphna has been adopted and used by Latin American Catholic practitioners, regardless of the fact
mm-hmm.
that she was originally mm-hmm. Irish. There is another blend that I have seen people use, which has to do with Irishness, okay? This is not so much about mental health, but I have seen people make a blend of, I know this sounds, we're getting right into these different little niche blends. St. Patrick,
mm-hmm.
who drove the snakes out of Ireland, St.
Right.
Dimphna, who was an Irish snake, and Lady Luck, also known as the Luck of the Irish.
Wow,
and
people
have had that made up as a blend for Irishness in a three-way blend. Yeah.
I love
so,
hearing that one. That's so fun.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah. So anyway, but St. Dimphna has, people think of these Catholic saints that are used in root work and Santeria and in folk magic generally as being somehow off the radar of the Catholic Church, banned saints, forbidden saints. This is not true. There is a national shrine to St. Dimphna.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there are, she is widely venerated by straight mainline Catholics who would not consider this magical work at all.
Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good point, because I think people mix up folk saints, which are not actually part of the Catholic Church in an official way, but are part of people's cultural practice, with official saints. And St. Dimphna is an official saint, or a saint that is at least very popular amongst Catholics, very normally prayed upon. In fact, there is a famous prayer of hers that I wanted to mention that I know a lot of people petition, even if they're not practicing any type of folk magic, when they're seeking out some type of aid. And I'll also put it in the chat. It's a new short prayer. It's just, good St. Dimphna, great wonder worker, in every affliction of mind and body, I humbly implore your powerful intercession with Jesus through Mary, the health of the sick, in my present need, and then you talk about what your need is. You mention your affliction. Saint Dimphna, martyr of purity, patroness of those who suffer with nervous and mental affliction, beloved child of Jesus and Mary, pray to them for me and obtain my request. Saint Dimphna, virgin martyr, pray for us. It's a short prayer, and most it's sometimes written on her prayer cards. It's sometimes, if you purchase the vigil candles, will be written on the vigil candles as well. Also, I should mention that she has, as you rightfully pointed out, become quite popular in Latin American folk practices. Though you'll find more often than not, her color is green. Her color is blue in Latin American candles and green amongst the traditional Irish workers. So there's
right.
a little slight color difference.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because if you look at the label that we made for Lucky Mojo, it is green and blue. The most common illustration of her, she's someone with a white overblouse, a blue underblouse, looks like a leotard, and then a green skirt, and she also has a yellow and gold embroidered scarf. So we have a little of the gold
yes.
in there too. Another thing about her symbolism, because I'm looking at her picture right now, she bears lilies, and lilies is to say a virgin in Catholic
uh-huh.
symbolism, and mm-hmm. so that's why she's known to be a virgin.
Yes, yes.
So.
In particular, she's very wonderful. I mean, she's great to be called upon for any type of mental health work. But she is well known for obsession work as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So any type of mental health work, any type of illness or disorder. But if you're also suffering from some type of obsession, right, she's someone that can be called upon because that's something she dealt with in her life, the obsession of her father, right? So if you find
mm-hmm.
yourself falling any type of obsession, even if you don't feel like you have OCD or any other of those mental health issues, but you find yourself mentally fixated on something, emotionally fixated on something that is deeply unhealthy for you, she's the person to call upon. And I know in folk traditions that have become quite popular here in North America, and she's usually called upon in that type of work when you're trying to clear away the mind or cleanse the mind, eggs. And the egg is used, you light the candles, the egg is used to rub the head, and it's always done in a counterclockwise fashion from what I've seen, in circles around the head, and it kind of grows bigger and bigger as if you're actually drawing something out of the head, and it's drawn
mm-hmm.
into the egg. So you start off rubbing the head, and then it gets a little bit wider, and the circle gets a little bit wider until you draw out that obsession into the egg. The egg is then placed next to the novena candle of St. Dimphna, and then once the candle's burned down, the egg is disposed of. And this is great for obsession work. In particular, for example, I saw in Texas, and I believe this is something that probably came over from Mexico or something that was developed from a mix of kind of Texan tradition and curanderismo. I saw in Texas a woman doing this, well, because she had become obsessed. Her client had become obsessed with an actual person. Right. So very much mirroring the story of St. Dimphna, this person was obsessed with a married man, and they did this particular working to remove that obsession from the mind.
Yeah, I like the use of eggs with her. You had mentioned in the chat room, and I want to bring this out into the audio here, that according to some of the stories, the person that she fled with was her confessor, known as Garibernus.
Yes.
However that was pronounced. That's the same. He's a saint too, and that
mm-hmm.
he is the same one who some said was a dwarf. These are local and regional stories about Saint Dimphna that may or may not be quote canonized or approved by the Pope, But among the people who taught me about St. Dipnis, that was the name of the guy, Gerbernus. But he was her confessor. He was the guy who taught her about Christianity, but he was a dwarf. And he had to make do as the court jester for her ugly, evil father. In other words, he had to conceal the fact that he was her secret religious instructor and confessor. So, but that's a regional, local, oral tradition story. Now, that puts something in there, too, because I've heard him identified, and I know this may sound weird, but this is how I was told this story by someone who was a devoted Catholic who had been raised Catholic and said, and I quote, he was also her gay best friend.
Interesting. I've never heard that before.
Wow. Right. I've never heard this from anybody but the one person who told me, but she was a lifelong Catholic. This was back in the 80s. She lived in the upper Midwest, a great area of interest in St. Dipnis. Actually, there's a lot of people in the upper Midwest, a lot of chapels to her. And I don't know where she heard this from, but she said that. And what she meant by it was that in a time of her struggle against being forced into sex with her father, only a gay protector would protect her, because a member of the patriarchy would have asked her to submit, you see. So there's a lot of interesting stories attendant upon St. Dipnis.
That's offensive. I've never heard that one before, but I absolutely love that, because it's fascinating. It really speaks to the fact that I think some people think of saints as really remote figures, right, that are sometimes inaccessible. And that really defeats the kind of the very purpose of the saint, because they're meant to be intercessors, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the people you turn to because maybe God's a little too far away, right? Or you need someone to intercede.
Mm-hmm.
And as living spirits, spirits that aren't just kind of remote, far off, but living, really addressing the needs of the community, they develop new patronages, and they become associated with certain communities. There's a whole field of anthropology that looks at how religions that may particularly be hostile, for example, to the gay community or the LGBTQ community, how certain saints actually become the patrons themselves. Saint Sebastian, for example, or in this case, as you mentioned, the story. And this really speaks to the fact that the very core of what saints were usually regional spirits. They were they usually were the saint that you prayed to was where you lived, because that saint did something miraculous there and it attended to the needs of that community. That community faced some type of catastrophe. That community faced some type of horror, and that saint was someone you turned to. But over time, they develop a more intimate relationship with other communities. So seeing St. Dipnis also associated not just with mental health, but also as someone that has this connection to a marginalized community, that's powerful. And it really goes to speak to how the saints reach out to people in the same way that people reach out to saints.
Yes. This is, and see where we go with this, and actually when you think of these variant stories and how they're intertwined and they become, I guess you could call, the lore and legend of the saint.
Yeah.
The idea, yes, he's marginalized in several ways. He is physically unusual in that he's a dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
He is forced to perform when he would really rather be a religious confessor. As a confessor, there's something else implied, and this was told to be by another woman. And she also was a devotee of St. Dipnis. And she said they called her a virgin after her death. Maybe she was miraculously... The Catholic Church allows for people to miraculously be remade a virgin if they were raped. I don't know if you know that. They are still considered to be virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman said, everyone knows, everyone up in Wisconsin knows, she was raped. She was not technically a virgin, but she ascended to heaven as a virgin. So this speaks to the restoration of her virginity after incest, and this is why he took her away and set off with her, because as her confessor, he knew the whole story. So there's a lot of story material in the legends and lore of Saint Dimphna that is not in the any Catholic book of saints I've ever seen. But yet, those who work with her attest to these stories as truth and variations of them. And so I pass them along, not a Catholic myself, I pass them along for the depth of the telling. I also would say that there is a little bit of the idea of St. Dimphna also just healing the body. And we talk about mental illness in two ways. There is stress-related or, traumatic mental illness, and then there is genetic mental illness. And she apparently works with both. And I need to stress when someone feels their mind is giving way due to stress, she's also someone who is called upon. But she is besought for help if a person who you know is undergoing mental illness that is familial or genetic in type.
I wanted to mention something. I think that's a really good point, is that she is indeed the patron of people who are survivors of sexual assault. There are whole Catholic charities and organizations dedicated to helping women like that. She's the patron of them, and you'll often find her medallion handed out to people who have survived that. She's also a great healer of the body. But I also want to mention really briefly, and that's very important, is that when we talk about St. Dimphna, people often go, oh, well, I don't have any mental health issues. I don't need to call on her. Or I don't have any. They view mental health often in stigmatized ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
First, either actually having, certain issues but refusing to seek any treatment. She can help, as Deacon Millett so wonderfully put, help you find that treatment, that person that can help you get to that place where you accept that this is not something that needs to be stigmatized, that you wouldn't feel stigmatized if you had a cold or a flu or even some type of chronic health condition that you can point to as having some type of, when it comes to our emotional and mental, there's a stigma sometimes associated, sometimes more so in certain communities than others. For example, depression is something that isn't often talked about in the Black community, right? It's, it's something that is very stigmatized. It's sometimes seen as a weakness. I know that in the Middle Eastern community, for example, mental health is referred to in very kind of oblique ways, never in very clearly. So various communities, it varies. Sometimes it's a little bit more open, sometimes not. But St. Dimphna is great for that, to say, hey, let's overcome this stigma, accept it, because healing is part of that. She's also the patron that you call upon when, even if you don't have some type of mental health issue, but you have mental distress, and that's okay. One of the most kind of the simplest workings of her is to help you get to sleep, because you have a lot on your mind, because you're stressed out and you're worried and you have things that won't let you go to sleep. I was told to simply take her photo or her prayer card and place it under a cup of water next to your bed. And what that would do is soothe a troubled mind, because there are times in our lives where we are troubled, and that's okay. And that's part of what St. Dimphna does. She helps you accept that it's okay to seek out help, and she's the help that you can turn to.
That's a really good point. I'd like to mention a few herbs that are copacetic with petitions to St. Dimphna. As Deacon Millett said at the beginning of this show, he mentioned clarity and tranquility and van van. And as go-along oils with St. Dymphna candles or with St. Dymphna oil to make a blend. Bay leaf, otherwise known as bay laurel, is traditionally used to clear the mind. And so that would be a good herb to use. You could snip up or crumble a little bit of it into the candle. You can also cook with a little bay leaf in the food. It is bitter, so you don't want to have too much of it in your food. It's a fairly bitter herb, but it has a flavor that's quite appealing. It's aromatic. It's very customary in a Northern European cooking to put one bay leaf into a stew pot, or, you know, and it flavor the whole stew. So any food that you make with a little bay leaf in it would be good for the mind. And there's another one, since women are very often the victims of sexual abuse, anything that strengthens women would be good herbs to work with her. And that would be Dong Quai, a.k.a. Angelica root, Queen Elizabeth root, and then also anything that would be healing or soothing would be good to work with her. Therefore, Althea, either in leaf or root, would be a good herb to use with St. Dymphna's image and to use to dress St. Dymphna candles. Don't put too much herbs on your vigil candles. They will go up in flames. But but all of those are good ones. Okay? How about you, Deacon Miller? Do you have anything else to add in the way of working with St. Dymphna?
Well, for herbs and roots, I would later on I'll be listing these again, but I would add golden seal and Solomon seal root. And you can also go with life everlasting and even a little sage or eucalyptus. But I'm going to list those again later as well because I want to give a nice pile of different things to use in a mojo or a small bottle spell later in the show. But all of those, you know, they blend together so nicely. They all push at things from different angles, which is a really nice way of working. And to go back to what Ali was saying, you know, there's a total way of working with the mentally ill that grown up in this town in Belgium where St. Dymphna fled. And they traditionally, people in this town invite the mentally ill to stay with them, sometimes for 20 or 30 years. And this started in the 14th century when people would just drop off the mentally ill at the shrine and just leave them. And the people in the town would adopt these folks. And it's a methodology in which there's pretty much no treatment. The hospital is there if anything happens, but they're just allowed to be themselves and given farming tasks and other things to do. It's a really great way of being.
That's wonderful. I want to give a shout out to Alchemical Artisans Hour, who mentioned rosemary also for dealing with difficult memories. Good choice. All right. Now we're going to go to our readings. And if you are interested in St. Dymphna, you can contact Deacon Millett directly or stay tuned to the rest of the show. He's going to be giving a free spell at the end regarding St. Dymphna. But now we're going to go to our first client. And we're going to have Papa Newt bring that client on.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Contraman Ali, and this week's special guest, Deacon Millett, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and
take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 906 in Michigan. This is Ree. Ree, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So welcome back to the show, hon. I see you're a return call, and you do listen to us every Sunday, so thank you for that.
And you're welcome.
The last time you had the reading with us was about 4 months ago, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, and conditions have changed on that. Though you have not gone to Conjure Man Ali or Miss Cat before on this situation, but you have gone to Miss Aida, Miss Michael, and Candelo Cambisa on this particular situation?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. And rewrites. I would like to know if my ex-boyfriend and I have a chance at getting back together. Is he under a spell that is causing him to hate me? Who put the spell on him? I have been told that the both of us are cursed, but he doesn't believe in voodoo. How can I get him to see what is really going on with him? Turning back to you, Miss Kat.
All right, and it's nice to talk to you. I understand too. You've had these readings with Aida, Miss Aida, Miss Michael, and with Candelo Cambisa, and they are the ones who've told you that both of you are cursed. Is that correct?
Well, Miss Aida is the one that told me that we were cursed.
All right. Okay.
Candelo.
I'm sorry, go on.
Candola, he didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me that about him, but he did tell me that someone was throwing things at me. And when I had the reading with Ms. Michael was on the show.
I see. And she also confirmed that there was a curse. Is that correct?
Well, it wasn't technically her. It was, I don't know if it was Conjure Man Ali or another man.
Oh, I see. Okay. But all right, so what I'm going to do is, rather than seek to find out if there is a curse, because we have a consensus here that there is a curse, either of you or of both of you, and you're saying that your ex-boyfriend doesn't believe in any of this, so you need him to see what's going on, but I'm going to ask a couple more questions about him.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you two guys together before?
We were together for 2 years.
Okay. And how long have you been apart?
We've been apart for like nine months.
Okay. So we're still within some sort of a framework, although hope is fading at this point. Okay, I mean, you know, the longer you go, the less likely you are to get back together. So
well,
we're going to...
I'm sorry, I did just have a child from him.
You just had a child?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my. All right. So, and he was he there for the birth of the child?
Well, no, I didn't allow him to be there because of the situation that I had been going through. Like I said, I don't know if he's cursed, and I don't know if he's possibly doing things to help.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Let me be real clear here because I want to get right to the bottom of this. You asked him not to be there for the birth of the child. Is that correct?
Well, I just didn't tell him.
You didn't
but he was
tell
there after.
Him?
No, ma'am. He was there after. I called him after I had the baby. But
okay.
Due to the situation with what I had been going through, it had me kind of fearful of people, even fearful when I went in to have my baby. I was thinking that the people were going to try to kill me.
All right. So this is a very difficult situation. I'm going to tell you one thing, and I know that that this is it's not great news. In my opinion, and I say this to anyone under the sound of my voice who might be in a similar situation, I would recommend, no matter what your fears, that you have the man be present at the birth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that
mm-hmm.
bonds him spiritually. If he holds that new baby right, I mean, if he's there, if he watches the baby to be born, he will always be more connected than if he does not. Now, it's too late for you to do that now, but I'm just telling this to anybody else. Always, if possible, have the father be at the birth. Have him to watch the baby be born. That is old school, but it is for real. Now, let's go on with what we can do. So what I'm seeing here is, unfortunately, I'm not seeing a great deal of a good prospect, and I'll tell you why. The first card is a card of watching and waiting. It is the Two of Wands. Your plans have been good, but you don't have the means to get this man back in your life. It shows a man holding a globe of the world, like he's going to sail around the world. He's got a plan. He's holding a rod or staff, or like a walking stick, with his left hand, and the globe is in his right hand. On the right side of him on the wall is a little metal bracket with another rod, but that person who should be holding the other staff is not there. Crisscross on the wall next to him is a little emblem of roses and lilies. Well, the roses is your sexual passion for the man and his for you. The lilies always represent, as I mentioned before, with St. Dimphna, represent the virgin. So that would be a child. A child hasn't had sex yet, so lilies always represent children. There are no boats in the bay or harbor where he looks down, and there is no way to get this thing on the road yet. A good plan to get back together with him, but something's missing, and what that thing is missing is him. Okay, so it may not be you may not be able to redeem this at this time. The next card is a card what we call a split influences, and it is a man who is gardening. It's called the Seven of Pentacles. It's a man who's gardening, and he has a hoe, and he's been chopping weeds with his hoe. He has two bushes. One is large and one is small, and each bush has different coins on it, or discs, golden discs. One has six and one has one. He may already have another interest in his life, and he may not be devoting full attention to you. He has split interests. So I'm not saying he has somebody else. Don't say, my reader said he has another woman. I'm not saying that.
I know that he does. Just recently. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right. Well, there you go. Well, I didn't want to come out and say it because I don't want to embarrass you in front of others or you know, make you have to admit to something, but you've admitted to it. He has split interests. He has one big interest and one smaller interest, and you may have to reconcile to what's going on here. It's gone on too long, and it hasn't been mended for too long. I'm going to ask you another question. Is his name on the birth certificate as the father, and does he acknowledge the baby?
Yes, ma'am. He acknowledges her.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. I always worry about the fate of the child, you see. Well, the third card is, again, not a great card. And this third card goes back to the idea, is this relationship cursed or is there a curse? The third card is called the Devil. And the Devil is a card of curses. This shows a man and a woman chained, not to each other, but chained to a ring and a rock. And they each have a chain on, and they each have a sort of a uncomfortable look, and they are naked, by the way, like Adam and Eve, but suffering in prison. And the man has a tail like an animal, and it's caught on fire. It's like he's prone to temper. He may be prone to drink or drugs. He is prone to out-of-control behavior and is not a steady man. The woman has a tail also like an animal, but the end of her tail ends in grapes, and that stands for children because the seeds of grapes are like the seeds of having children. And she is chained because she wants her child to have a family and have a father. So she is somehow still connected to this man. Well, they are chained to a rock, and on the rock sits a devil. But the devil did not chain them. The devil kind of came down because they were in a bad situation. And this devil is a big old, looks like a man, but he's quite ugly. He has horns and a face like a goat, wings like a bat, a body like a man, but his thighs are hairy thighs like a goat thighs, and his legs from the knees on down are like big old turkey drumsticks with claws. And this man is, quote, blessing, unquote, which is to say causing trouble for the man and the woman. The man who has the tail of fire, well, the devil is setting his tail on fire. So this man that you love, your ex, is tempted sometimes to do wrong, and he will do wrong. Over the woman, he holds the blessing of Saturn. It's a symbol of Saturn in the palm of his hand, which means limitations, restrictions, duties, and obligations. He said, well, you wanted the child, you've got the child, your blessing is to care for the child, but you won't get much help in this situation. Now, this card is not a fortuitous card for getting back together with the man, in my opinion. And I know that we're going to try to maybe give you some root work to help on it, but maybe not. I'm almost seeing that this door is shut at this time. And what really you might have to be going for is child support and visitation, because this man has already chosen someone else, and that other person is the apple of his eye and his heart's desire. So Conjurman Ali posted something in the chat room. I always say, says Conjurman Ali, the devil is a mockery of the lover's card. It is a bond, but unhealthy and unloving. That is so true. It is a mockery of the lover's card. The blessing that the woman receives is a stern blessing. Children are always a blessing, and Gia says that, but the blessing here comes with duty and obligation, and that is what I see in these cards. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millett.
Well, I'm going to pull three cards as well. These are from the Secret Bikini Oracle deck, which is a very different deck of cards. The first one here is Serpent Power. And this card shows a lightning bolt and a cobra striking. And it's a card of fast and often magical intervention. So something did happen here. You were thrown at, and it's too late now. It's over and done with. The next card is White Lady, Mother of Pearl. And this card shows a naked woman. It's all in blues, and she is dropping pearls down a deep well. And this is a very cold and manipulative card, and often it says that there is a woman behind the scenes who is trying to change things, who is working against you. And I think this is probably the person that he's spending time with right now. The third card is a little more mundane, a little more positive, and this card is Centering the Present, and it shows a mandala on the surface of the moon, and this is a card about going through the motions of day-to-day life. Leave this stuff behind you. Leave these manipulative people. Leave this ugly cursing that has occurred. Focus on day-to-day life and caring for your new baby. Focus on cleansing your home. Focus on good food. Focus on the day-to-day. And things are going to turn around for you. It doesn't look like the future is anywhere near as messy as the past has been, if you will just shut the door on it and move forward with your life.
Wow. So those are very similar. You got a little something that I did not get, but I agree with you. It did not come up in my cards, but that the new woman is also now protecting her territory. So, Reed, that doesn't mean that she was the one who threw the original curse, you understand, but she is now moved into position to protect her territory as any woman would.
Okay. Can I say this?
Well, we're
going to
go. Yeah.
Okay. I was wanting to ask you, when you said that about the woman and the baby, were you pertaining it to me or the woman that could have thrown things at me?
Yeah, that's you. you were the woman with the baby, the woman who's bound to him, tied to him through a child, but the blessing you receive contains obligations and is not a happy lover's card, but it's a card, you have a child, and the child should be your focus because he is out of control as far as you're concerned, and he's not doing everything right. It's just not, it doesn't show a blessed bond between you and him, but a blessed bond between you and the baby. Okay? So let's go on to root work with Ali and see what he has to say.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. I couldn't agree more with these readings. I think they're right on point. I think the Devil's card in particular really kind of seals the deal there and tells us that, sure, you'll continue to have a connection with this man, but as you're looking for him to get back together with you as your partner in life, that's unlikely. That this is going to be one of obligation, but not one of love. But it also warns, I should say, that I got a really strong impression that when things get bad for this man, he may try to kind of sneak back into your life. Don't fall for that. Or when he's having a fight, he may call you up and be all sweet. Don't fall for that. This is not a man who's coming back and is going to make you happy or is going to become a real partner for you. So you need to strengthen yourself too, so you're not vulnerable to that, because otherwise you'll be thrown for a loop when all of a sudden, after being sweet for a couple of months, he disappears on you. What you need to be doing is making sure that you and your child get taken care of. First and foremost, you need to cleanse your property, okay? You need to cleanse yourself. Get yourself some 13-herb bath and bathe yourself in this from head to foot for 13 days, air dry, dispose of the bath water at the crossroads. Wash your home with Chinese floor wash. You can look up cleansing at Lucky Mojo. We don't have a lot of time, so I don't want to spend too much time on that. But you need to look up how to do some uncrossing work, do some baths, do some cleaning of the home. And you need to do it because you need to start off fresh. Remove the messes that have been put on you. In your home, I want you to keep a fresh basil plant. This is to keep the peace, but also to ensure that no evil will return. Keep it alive. Basil is very easy to have in the house. You're going to create a mojo bag for your child. In a white bag, I want you to put flax seeds, which are for children, angelica root, which is really great for protection, bay leaf, basil, and fern. And you are going to tie this up, give it a little bit of whiskey, and hide it under your child's bed. This is to protect your child from any form of harm. Then you're going to get a picture of you and your child, and you're going to either Photoshop tape or somehow include this man in the photo. On the back of the photo, put this into a picture frame. On the back, put in an envelope with calamus, cinnamon, bloodroot to bring those connections together, and five-finger grass. Close that up, and you're going to speak to that picture frame every week directly to him, saying, hey, you have a child, you need to step up, you need to give child support, you need to give any type of support that you can to take care of, you need to step up to the plate and be a man about this, and we're going to keep the peace, and this is not going to be a fight, this is what's good for both of us and for our child. And you're going to work that every week, speaking directly to him to get him to step up. Your main focus should be protecting yourself, protecting your child, and making sure your child is taken care of. So that if you have to, you need to take it to the courts. You need to make sure that child support is given. You need to start doing court case work if it gets to that point. But that is the thing you need to do right now. You need to focus on yourself. You need to focus on cleansing yourself, protecting yourself, and making sure you're taken care of. And don't fall for any kind of, we need to get together.
Thank you, Ali. In the chat room, Black Juno asked, what about cut and clear to make her more pragmatic? That might be a good idea if she can't get behind that. I hope that Papa Newt will come back and post the links, or maybe Lucky Mojo Curio Co. will post the links for these herbs, because that was a really good set of herbs. Thanks a lot, guys. Okay, now we're going to go on, and we're going to have some announcements and come to our second reading.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is also calling from Michigan, area code 269. This is Carrie. Carrie, are you there?
I am here. Hi.
Hello. Welcome back. I see that you have called us before, and that was about mid-October, you thought it was?
Yep.
And oh, wonderful. And let me take a look here. I see you have not had any private readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali, and you have not had any other readers on this situation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. And Carrie Wright, after the show, I followed the suggestions you gave and how to get my ex on my side. It turns out that the former BFF had been telling him things and showing him screenshots of things I've said. He recently reached out to clear the air, and we were talking again, but I haven't heard from him for a week now. I'm not sure if I should just let him go or if there's a hope for reconciliation, and what rework might help. Turn it back to you, Ms. Cash.
All right. So I remember you having been on the show before, and this was a pretty complicated situation, and I want to thank you for coming back. And my dear husband sent me a private message and said, "Remember horse brains." And I sure did.
Yep. That was me. I knew if I put that in my little blurb that you guys would absolutely know, because who would forget that, really?
Yes, horse brains. Okay. So, So these are, this is a problem. Your work has been shown to him. And this goes to an issue which we really should have a whole show about, but I'm just going to run up a little flag here and see if anyone salutes. Keep your work secret. Use a pseudonym if you're going to go online. Don't be talking about your work because
It wasn't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it wasn't my work that she told him about.
Oh, it says she's, you're showing him screenshots of things I've said.
Yeah. Basically, me and him were broke up for a while, and, you know, she was my best friend at the time, so, you know, all my thoughts, all my personal thoughts and all my feelings, things I might have said about him, things I said about how he was not very well endowed, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, all right. We got brief time here. So, in other words, it's not things you've said about magical work, it's just things you've said, period. Same story
goes. Yeah, about
him,
yeah.
Same story goes. I could just tell a story here, but I'm not going to because we got short time. There's a song called Your Close Friends by Reverend Edward Clayton. Your enemies cannot harm you, but watch your close friends. Okay. Having said that, I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali, and he can pick the mess up off the floor, okay?
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat. First, we should congratulate you. I think you had some good success here. You followed our instructions, and something did come of that. You got results, right? You went from horse brains to him clearing the air with you, and that is a good thing. You should take that not for granted, but go, that's good. You succeeded. You were victorious in some way. That's excellent. Now the question is there more to be done here, or is it time to walk away? And the first card that I have is the Ten of Wands. The Ten of Wands is a person who is carrying a heavy burden, 10 staves, as they struggle to make their way back into the village. They're usually coming out of a forest where they've burdened themselves with these staves. There's a lot in this relationship between the two of you. There is not just, you know, clearly it wasn't just a spiritual attack and spiritual work going on and all that type of stuff, but also there is secrets have been revealed, and he's heard your unfiltered thoughts. No man wants to hear that he's not well endowed, right, from someone that he was a former lover with, and certainly having a best friend that is sending screenshots or showing screenshots to him, deep treachery. So what this tells us is that this card says there's a lot. There's a heavy, heavy burden. And going forward, it's great that you guys have cleared the air. That kind of always hangs in the air. There's always some part of that lingers. It's the bad aftertaste when you've already done chewing and swallowing. It's still there. The Strength card is the next card. It tells us that you can overcome the darker aspects of this, that you can actually heal. It shows a woman who's taming a lion. You can undo some of the damage that has been done. And indeed, you have undone quite a bit of the damage that has been undone. And that's a good thing. You do have the power to affect this. You do have the power to fight on, so to speak. The real question is, should you fight on? And the answer to that is no. It's time to kind of move on. Because the final card that we have is the Seven of Cups. The Seven of Cups shows us a person who is looking at all their different options, and they're drawn by the glittering prizes, and they're drawn by all the different possibilities. But when you look closely at those possibilities, which are represented as golden goblets on a big, beautiful cloud, they actually are all tinged with some type of darkness. The wreath of victory is a cup of poison. Next to it is a demon. Above it, a serpent coming out of a cup. But in the center, there is a Christ-like figure that is hidden. It's time now for you to do some introspection. The end of the year is coming up. If you do not hear from him by New Year's Eve, it's time to move on. You need to start the new year fresh. If he does come back, it will give you an opportunity to talk again. Reconciliation sometimes means just clearing the air. It does not always mean that you two get back together and are in love forever and ever. But it does give you a chance to clear the air. You've already had that opportunity. You've already had that success. That may be it. It may be now time to go, look, I've done my part. We were on better terms. It's only been a week since he hasn't spoken to you. That's okay. Communication will have fluctuations. But now it's time for me to focus on finding who and what is right for me. That angelic figure that is cloaked or veiled, I need to unveil and find out what I want out of life. Your friend you need to remove, that is the serpent amongst the goblets. I would do some work to halt her completely in her tracks and give her no further power over you. And then do some work to just help you move on into the new year. You will hear from him again. You will. It may not be before New Year's Eve. It may be before, but I'm sensing a little bit after. Don't see the communication as a sign of we need to get back together. You need to see it for what it is. That's the work. That's the hard work I put in to clear the air. Now it's time for me to move on and find what's better for me. That's what I'm getting here. You'll get more from this person. But the time is running out, and it's time for you to start turning inward, asking what you want, and then making what you want a reality.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Okay. So let's take a look at this from Deacon Millett's point of view. Okay? What do you have to say?
I'm going to pull three cards as well. The first one here is Elixir Fruit Essence. and this card shows peaches and blackberries and a mouth licking its lips. And this card tells me there's still a physical spark between the two of you. But beware. We men, we will go to where the sex is just for the sex, and then we'll leave. This isn't a strong bond of love card. This is a card of sexual experimentation, pleasure and enjoyment, but it's not a monogamous continuity kind of a card. The second card here is Way Through, and this shows a key floating against a galaxy. And this is a card of freedom. Yes, there is a way through for the two of you. There's a way to get things on track, but freedom is the more important theme of this card. So go ahead and make a talisman of a key, anoint it with fiery wall of protection oil, and just plan on seeing things through in the most positive way for your life. The third card... is interesting because Ali finished up by talking about time, and this card is Wheel of Great Time. And this card shows the goddess Kali at the center of a clock, and her arms are the arms of the clock, and they hold swords. And this is a card about time running out. This is a card about patience and how long it would take to get this to work out. And I don't feel like it's a worthwhile investment of your time. Move on. If you guys are meant to be 2 years from now, you'll see each other again in a fresh light and start over. But right now, this is too much poison to just get out of the system and try to be together a month from now, 2 months from now. This is it's not going to work easily. So consider whether it should work at all.
The funny thing about that is, like, he contacted me a week after I did a cut and clear spell. I'm finally over you, and then you come back into my life.
that's very typical, hon. I know you haven't been, you know, like, following this kind of work for 30, 40 years. But I will tell you that those of us who have are going, That happens quite often when a person, either a man or a woman, does a cut and clear to get someone out of their life so that they can be free and clear to get a new person. The person feels the bond cut. They feel that. It's like they feel a shift in the force, so to speak. And the first thing they do is reach, hey, don't drop me, right? It's very common. Then you have a choice. You can reestablish the bond on your new terms, but fall back. In other words, the new terms were the terms of the cut and clear spell. This person will be this way, this way, this way, this way, who loves me, right? And if they don't meet those terms, they just were reacting like the, you know, like the twitch of a dead frog's leg, basically. And what you're looking for is a live frog that you can kiss and make into a prince. So let's look at some root work. What I'm seeing here is the readings are not so good. Yes, he did reach out to clear the air. First of all, I'm still pissed off at your former best friend here.
Right.
That person, whoever that person deserves to be sent into the outer darkness where there's the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. So I would do a cut and clear on that friend, too. Just get that person out your life. Number two, I would take this as a lesson. Don't be talking about your business. It'll come back to bite you. And there's nothing you can do about that now. And I'm going to tell you, if that ex has the sense that, you know, God gave most small animals, the ex will not come back full-hearted after having been told that they were less than well endowed. I mean, you know, that's just not going to fly. Maybe if they're very, very humble. So I'd like you to do some work on yourself, and I'd like you to do some work for the future. I think the best advice I've heard is to look for the new year. If this ex will not be with you on the New Year. If you cannot spend the New Year with him, take that as a sign. I know you wanted this, and I know it seems strange when you did the cut and clear that all of a sudden he popped back in again, but they do. That's so typical.
Mm-hmm.
I would do some work, and one of the things that Deacon said was a key with, dressed with fiery wall of protection. You're a little open and vulnerable. You may be a very loving person who wants love so bad that you'll let this cut and clear person come back and get in your face, and then the best friend who you really need to cut and clear from too. Do something for yourself. So you can do any kind of a removal spell. Banishing is another one. But I'd like you to do some road opener work. You have about a half a month here to prepare. I'd like to see you start the new year with some really positive work for yourself. A white candle, road opener work. You can, when you do a road opener, you can take a road opener vigil in the middle of an altar, and you can take four colored candles for four things that you want. They can all be the same color four times, or they can be four different or two different or whatever you want, but they represent your mm-hmm. roads. And you can have one green for money, one red for love, so forth. Or you can just have them all red for love. And you start with them very close to that road opener vigil light. And then as they burn, these are little helper lights. These are 6-inch candles or 4-inch candles, and as in their holders. And as they burn, you move them outward, outward, and you pray over them. Just go around them clockwise. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Move them out with a new prayer each time you open my road to love, to open my road to money, open my road for health, whatever it may be. If they're all four going to be for love, you just say, open my road to love to the east as the sun rises, bring me new love. Open my road to love to the south as the sun at the midday, let my love be beautiful and in all ways endowed. And as you go to the west, you open my road to love to the west so that the person who loves me comes home to me every night as the sun sets. And then open the road to the north. May my love come to me in secret and by dark. May my love stay with me all my life, and when I go to die, may my love be there, and may we be buried together. So these are the four different ways you can have a love. And you just go, and then you go do it again, do it again, do it again, go round and round, and those red candles would be dressed with love oil blended with road opener oil. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
All right. Now, let's see if Deacon Millett has something else, because he has a lot of spells for love in his compartmentalized mind. How about it, Deacon Millett?
Well, I think it's definitely time for new love, and that open road trick is really beautiful, and I hadn't heard you tell that one, and I certainly do like it. I would go ahead and add more herbs to it. I would get some lavender buds and some rose buds, and go ahead and use flowers on your altar along with the candles. I always think that helps a lot, particularly for love work. I'm also a big fan of cinnamon for drawing and attracting people to you. So definitely throw some cinnamon in there. Just a tiny tap on each candle will spark up in a nice way and bring a sexual charge to these new loves. But I really think that the coming year is going to bring you someone infinitely better, and that actually it was your cut and clear spell that was the beginning of opening your roads here.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All righty. Well, I'm going to say that those herbs are a very, very good formula. You can find more herbs for new love and for drawing love if you go to the website, a web page that's part of Hoodoo and Theory and Practice called Hoodoo at a Glance. And I'm sure that Papa Newt will post that. It's luckymojo.com, Hoodoo at a Glance. .html, and you can look up, there's many, many other herbs like juniper and so forth that are used for drawing new love, and the ones he listed are great, and it's a whole class of herbs. Okay?
Awesome.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for calling back, and I really I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but I think that you just need to start fresh. Okay. Well, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and he's going to bring us some technical announcements and some personal announcements, and then we're going to go to our free show.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rook Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California. Take it away, Deacon Millett.
All right. Thanks a lot, Papa Newt. This is going to be a St. Dimphna spell to put at your bedside or on your dresser. And I started with a metal bowl with blue water. Now, blue water is just laundry bluing added to pure water. And the metal bowl is for reflectivity so that it will reflect light and will help you think. But the blue water is considered a cleansing agent, and it matches the blue of St. Dimphna's cloak. And inside of this metal bowl with your blue water in it, I want you to place a glass of pure water. So it will create a circle of white, of clarity, in the center of the blue water. Now, this white glass should have holy water in it, or it can just be pure water with a dash of salt. But that creates this place of calm in the center of protection. And then in the center of that, I want you to place a St. Dimphna medal. And these can be found online. They can be found at churches. But St. Dimphna is a real classic Catholic saint, and she has little medals for her. And just put that little medal in the center. You can put a photo of yourself, perhaps with a loved one, or you can put a photo of someone who is in need alongside of this. And then a single white candle to be burned with this. I kind of like the figural cross candles. They're really lovely, and they set it off nicely. And for 9 days in a row, I want you to read four verses from Psalm 69 each day. It's a very long psalm, so you can do four verses a day for 9 days just to keep it ongoing. And that will help to also add an element of continuity that each day it's getting bigger. You can do this with the novena instead. The novena to St. Dimphna is lovely also, but this is one way that you can do it. And then next to this, I want you to create either a mojo bag or a small bottle spell. And I mentioned some of these herbs before. I like doing seven objects and seven things, so you may end up mixing and matching some of these. But they include golden seal root, Solomon seal root, angelica root, althea leaves, sage or eucalyptus, life everlasting, a bay leaf, and then a personal concern, a name paper is a good choice, or a small photo. Also, if you are on any kind of psychiatric medication for depression, anxiety, psychotic episodes, anything like that, add one pill to your mojo or your small bottle spell.
so that you are acknowledging that you want the help that this medicine can bring to you.
Wow.
And do this once a night for 9 days in a row. You can then dump the water into your bath. You can dump the water in a bath for 9 days and refresh the water every day. But this is a way of honoring St. Dimphna and honoring what's going on in your own heart and mind.
Okay, wow. Wow. I'm gonna see now, as a person who's never heard this spell before, if I got it right. We're going to have a metal, shiny metal reflective bowl with some bluing in it, like bluing balls or Reckitt's Crown Blue or Mrs. Stewart's,
right.
A little bluing, make it blue. Inside of that, I'm going to sink a heavy glass, because it has to be pretty heavy so it won't tip over, with clear water.
Right.
In that clear water, we're going to put the metal of St. Dimphna. Now, you mentioned these herbs. And the pill, those go in that clear water?
No, those go in either a small bottle next to this.
Ah, okay.
Or in a mojo bag.
I see. So I got it. Okay, got it. Now I understand. So you're going to have a candle. You're also going to have a photo of the person to be helped. Could be yourself, could be another. Then the herbs, you have two choices. You can either make a mojo with those herbs, or you can put those herbs in a bottle, but you don't mean like with water. You just mean like a little potpourri.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
And then after that, you're reading Psalm 69 for how many days?
9 days. Four verses
9 days.
Each day.
Yeah, 4 verses each day for 9 days, or you can read the novena, or you can do them both, right?
Absolutely.
And at the end of that 9 days, those herbs have been really prayed over, and then you can use them in a bath if you don't wish to use them in a mojo. Now, have I got it?
You've got it, and then you've got your St. Dimphna metal left over, which can be either placed inside the bottle spell or sewn on the outside of your mojo.
Ah, aha. Or worn, if you were to take the herbs and make a tea out of them and make a bath, then you would just wear the St. Dimphna metal. Got it. What a fantastic, fantastic group of spells. I mean, this is like a 4-for-1, practically. I can add to that, you could take those same herbs, crush or grind them up, and put them behind the photo in a little envelope with your prayer, and then just keep the photo on your shelf, and that person will be prayed over all the time, if it is not for yourself. Okay.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, very, very amazing, amazing work, a wonderful list of herbs, a fantastic psalm, and, of course, that medal. And I know I can hear somebody just right now, I hear someone saying, what if I want to do 3 medals, one for me, one for my boyfriend, and I want to have one in the mojo? Yes, all the medals you want, baby, put all the medals out you want.
All the medals you want.
And I know that there's going to be one other question. I'm channeling these. Somebody out there is asking, and how do I reward St. Dimphna for help? Well, you would give some donation to the Shrine of St. Dimphna or to mental health organizations or to the poor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Deacon Millett. That was a fantastic spell. Really love that. This has been a very interesting show. It's, again, one for the ages, because there's so much information packed into this show. St. Dimphna is a very popular saint. All right, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, who himself is a Catholic and does a lot of work with St. Dimphna. We didn't even let him pipe up with some suggestions. But I just got to tip my hat to Papa Newt, because I know he does work with her for clients. And then we'll come back and we'll all say our goodbyes. So take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Tansa Ben Ali, and thank you, Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, who will be Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, bringing us the topic, Powwow, the Long-Lost Friend. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contraman Ali at contramanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. And a big shout-out to the National Shrine of St. Dimphna on the grounds of St. Mary Parish in Massillon, Ohio. Okay. All righty. Well, I really want to thank you again, Deacon Millett, for coming out. It's always so lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, and for those of you who don't know Deacon Millett, he's the author of a couple of books on love magic. He's also the reading wrangler at the annual Hoodoo Heritage Festival in May. So if you want to come out and get a reading, he's the guy who arranges it for you. Thank you, Conjure Man Ali. Always a pleasure to have you among us.
Always a pleasure.
Beautiful co-host and co-conspirator. All righty. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks. Right now at the Disneyland Resort, you can save when you stay just steps away from all the magic. Save up to 25% on select rooms at a Disneyland Resort hotel. Visit Disneyland.com or call your travel agent to book for select nights now through April 12, 2018. There's no better time to get more happy. Savings based on the non-discounted price for the same room at the same hotel excludes applicable fees and taxes, subject to restrictions and change without notice. Separate theme park admission required to enjoy the parks.